Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. As we begin this week, I want to remind you of my new little booklet that's available free at the end of this program if you call our 800 number. This is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy of Repentance, the joy that repentance brings, the mercy of God. And the joy repentance brings. Repentance often for us is a seemingly an ugly word, and we don't like the idea of repentance. My goodness, we're fine people. We don't want to show off our faults and errors, and yet that is exactly what God blesses, is when we're honest with ourselves and honest with God, that He can use us. He really can. When we're humble, when we admit our weakness, when we admit our sinfulness. So I want you to know the joy. Jesus says it's a joy that no one shall take from you. True repentance, receiving the mercy of God, brings a joy no one can take from you. So both of my booklets, the other is Captured by Mercy, that you have heard. It's been out for the last several years. But now I've put a second booklet in there to look at the God's mercy from a slightly different angle. And if you, all of it, very important. So if you have an opportunity or would like to, just call the toll-free number at the end of this program, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. And you can order a copy of the booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy that Repentance Brings. That's what you want. I'm very touched by the way that I see God actually working in hearts, even as this year of mercy is just barely beginning. There are so many aspects to understand the mercy of God. And I certainly want the listeners to this program to have access to all the material that will help you to understand what it is that God desires to give each one of us. May you be blessed in your journey with the Lord. But please, please do take so seriously the call of God on each of us as Christians to be His disciple, to be His son or daughter, to follow Him as closely, to have faith in Him that this is not some fairy tale world that our world is trying to dismantle. It's the most real thing there is. It's more real than wherever you are listening to this program. If you're listening on your phone, if you're listening through the computer, however you're listening, whatever you see around you, what God is offering you is more real. And it will be real forever. It doesn't just have a lifespan. It will be real forever what God offers us in the kingdom of God. It's true. It's true. It's not just a nice, pious thought. It's the greatest reality that God wants us to live with Him forever. So let's take a look at the readings now. This one from 2 Samuel. An informant came to David with the report, "The children of Israel have transferred their loyalty to Absalom." Honest to goodness, the Israelites were fickle. They were forever changing who they would pay attention to and who they would follow. And they have turned away from David, who was a sinner, but David was close to the Lord. They've turned away from him and accepted his renegade son, Absalom. I mean, it's just, to David, it's just blow after blow after blow. At this, David said to all of his servants who were with him in Jerusalem, "Up, let us take flight, or none of us will escape from Absalom. Leave quickly, lest he hurry and overtake us, then visit disaster upon us and put the city to the sword." As David went up the Mount of Olives, he wept without ceasing. His head was covered. He was walking barefoot, all signs of repentance. All those who were with him also had their heads covered and were weeping as they went. As David was approaching Bahurim, a man named Shimei, the son of Gera, of the same clan as Saul's family, was coming out of the place, cursing as he came. He threw stones at David and at all the king's officers, even though all the soldiers, including the royal guard, were on David's right and on his left. Shimei was saying as he cursed, "Away, away, you murderous and wicked man. The Lord has requited you for all the bloodshed in the family of Saul, in whose stead you became king. And the Lord has given over the kingdom to your son Absalom. And now you suffer ruin because you are a murderer." Which he was. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, please, and lop off his head." Look what David said. "What business is it of mine or of yours, sons of Zeruiah, that he curses? Suppose the Lord has told him to curse me. Suppose the Lord has told him to curse David. Who then will dare to say, 'Why are you doing this?'" And then the king said to Abishai and to all his servants, "If my own son, who came forth from my loins, is seeking my life, how much more might this Benjaminite do? Let him alone. Let him curse. For the Lord has told him to." In other words, he's seen, I need to repent of my own sin. I need to repent for some of the decisions that I've made. I had all the grace and gifts of God that God could give, and I still turned away. So let this man, let him alone, let him curse. Perhaps the Lord will look upon my affliction and make it up to me with benefits for the curses he is uttering this day. So David and his men continued on the road, while Shimei kept abreast of them on the hillside, all the while cursing and throwing stones and dirt as he went. David accepted this dishonor. David is knocked to the ground by his own son's disloyalty, by his own son's desire to kill him. This is hard, brothers and sisters. And yet, look at David's response. Instead of killing his son, instead of going after those who are cursing him, he says, basically, "I deserve it. Because I too have turned from the Lord too many times." But he was humble enough to say, "Let God do what God needs to do." Quite a lesson. "O Lord, rise up and save me." Psalm 3. "O Lord, how many are my adversaries? Many rise up against me. Many are saying of me, 'There is no salvation for him in God.' But you, O Lord, are my shield, my glory. You lift up my head. When I call out to the Lord, he answers me from his holy mountain. When I lie down and sleep, I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I fear not the myriads of people arrayed against me on every side." I don't fear. I deserve it for my sin. And God is my Savior. God will protect me. What a holy man, in one sense, David was, that he could face his own sin and basically say, "I deserve this." Now, he had different reactions at different times, but here's one time where he really faced his sin. And the grief in his heart to see his own son turned against him is a grief like no other. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the sea, to the territory of the Gerasenes. And when he got out of the boat, at once a man from the tombs who had an unclean spirit met him. The man had been dwelling among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any longer, even with a chain. In fact, he had frequently been bound with shackles and chains, but the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles smashed, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. You're really talking about demonic power here. Demonic power. Night and day among the tombs and on the hillsides, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. See, that's what the enemy does. He gets in you, he makes you furious with others, you end up attacking way beyond what would be understandable in the situation. And then you turn the attack on yourself, self-hatred. That's always a work of the enemy. Catching sight of Jesus from a distance, he ran up and prostrated himself before him, crying out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." Now, what does he mean by that? It's because it's the evil spirit speaking in him. They don't want to see. This poor man is actually a pawn right now. He's been so taken over by the enemy. He's a pawn of the enemy. He, little by little by little, or big thing by big thing, he's sold his soul to the devil. And the devil has taken over. And so he cries out to God, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." Jesus had been saying to him, "Unclean spirit, come out of the man." See, Jesus recognized, he knew what was going on here. It wasn't just man with some dementia or something like that. There was something alive going on here. He asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "Legion is my name." See, he doesn't even know who he is anymore. The enemy can take us over that way. "Legion is my name. There are many of us." Whoa. And he pleaded earnestly with him not to drive them away from that territory. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside, and they pleaded with him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." And he let them. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down a steep bank into the sea where they were drowned. The swineherds, that's the herdsmen, ran away and reported the incident in the town and throughout the countryside, and people came out to see what had happened. As they approached Jesus, they caught sight of the man who had been possessed by Legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were seized with fear. Those who witnessed the incident explained to them what had happened to the possessed man, which is what he really was, possessed by evil, to the possessed man and to the swine. And then they began to beg him to leave their district. They're overwhelmed by this. And also, they've lost how many pigs? The swineherd was devastated by that. And so they plead with him, "You know, you're too much for us. This is too big. It's costing us. Get out of our lives." Instead of saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," and be drawn into him. Be drawn into union with him. How many times do we do that? As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed pleaded to remain with him. But Jesus would not permit him. See, he's still too freshly, so to speak, exercised. He needs time before he can minister to anybody else. But Jesus would not permit him, but told him instead, "Go home to your family and announce to them all that the Lord, in his pity, has done for you." So the first thing we do is go back to those we love and declare what is true. Then the man went off and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what Jesus had done for him, and all were amazed. May God bless you and teach you through this gospel. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." God bless you.